When I was in third grade, my two older brothers were already in high school. So they were much bigger than me and stronger than me. And one day, my whole family was driving around. I don't know what we were doing, but my mom, dad, and the three boys were driving around in the car. And my dad gets this great idea. He says, "Why don't we go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and everybody gets a drink?" And we're like, "Yeah, Dad's the man. We're going through McDonald's." Then my brain kicks in. I'm in third grade, and I have rules about going to McDonald's. I mean, what's this nonsense about going to McDonald's and just getting a drink? If you go to McDonald's, you get a hamburger, French fries, and a drink. Well, those thoughts made it to my lips. And I said, "Dad, if we're going to McDonald's, I want a hamburger, French fries, and a drink." Now, I got to understand, my dad is the most patient person I've ever met in my life. And so he just very calmly says, "No, Steve, we're going to McDonald's to just get a drink." Well, I figured he probably didn't hear me. And so I repeated it. "No, Dad, I want a hamburger, French fries, and a drink. And if I don't get that, then I don't want anything." Without missing a beat, "Okay then." Whew. And he just kept driving, and we didn't go to McDonald's. Did I mention my older brother sitting next to me? What? Boom! So I felt the wrath of my brother fall down on my head. Now, I tell you that story because that story pretty much says everything that I want to say in the sermon today. And I want to use that story to frame these texts that we come to today. Because, you know, we've been doing this whole series on covenant, God's pursuit of us. But today, the text that we come to creates a new dimension to covenant. And I want to look at four dimensions of this thing called covenant, the pursuit of God. And so the first dimension that we need to look at is simply this: God is faithful. I mean, that's the bedrock of covenant. And we've seen that throughout this whole series, right? We began with the Noah story. After the flood, God hung his bow in the sky. And he said, "I am at peace with you. I am for you. Now go, be fruitful and multiply in the earth." And then we saw when God called Abram and said, "Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And through that nation, I'm going to bless all nations." God is pursuing us. And then last week, we saw that God took the children of Abram and the children of Israel, and he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, and he brought them to Mount Sinai, and he gave them the law. These 10 words that shaped them, that were a vision of what God's people will become. God is faithful. It's like my dad driving the car. I know what was going through his mind because I'm a father now too. And I've experienced this when my whole family's together and I'm just overcome with this authentic sense of, man, I love my family. I want to do something nice for my family. I want to share in a moment of communal beverage with my family. I want to give good gifts. Because my dad had a vision of what his family is and can be. Because he's faithful to the family. Now, so far, we have painted a really rosy picture of God's covenant, right? Well, today, we come to this story where we are forced to look at the other side of covenant. Because there's a second dimension to covenant. Sometimes we can be unfaithful. I mean, the story that we found in Numbers chapter 21, I want us to go there. I invite you to pull out your Bibles and turn to Numbers. We're going to start back in chapter 13 because I need to give context. I need to tell you where we've been since the last time we were with Moses and the Israelites. Because after God gave them these 10 laws, the law, and he shaped them with his vision, remember, hundreds of years before that, he had promised Abram that he would give them a land, the promised land. And so what God does is right after he gives them the law, he takes them to the southern part of the land, directly to Canaan. And he says, okay, now take a representative from each of the 12 tribes and send them up into the land. Go check out how awesome it really is. I'm going to give this land to you. Go see. And they do, and they go see, and they see that it's full of milk and honey and great crops. But look in chapter 13, verse 31. Look what they say. 10 of these spies come back. And if you're there, would you read these words out loud with me? Here we go. Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." They did not believe that God would deliver his promise. Now skip down to verse 11. There's this conversation that God has with Moses. And it's an amazing conversation. Hear the heart of God when he says to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?" Do you hear God's heart breaking? And then he makes this decision. He says, "You know what, Moses? I'm just going to wipe them all out. And I'm going to start over with you. Can we do that?" Well, Moses steps up and he says, "No, God, don't do that. Have mercy on them. You don't want to look bad to the Egyptians, do you?" And God relents. He changes his mind. And he says, "Fine." But then he becomes like my football coach in high school. Whenever we would step out of line, whoop, he'd blow that whistle and he'd say, "Take a lap." And we'd have to around the football field. That's what God did to the nation of Israel. He said, "Okay, take a lap." And for 40 years, that generation had to wander around in the wilderness until that unfaithful generation died off. Do you see what's happening here? God's children slapped him in the face. They said, "No, Dad, I want a hamburger, French fries, and a drink." Here's the really important thing that we need to remember about God's covenant and the pursuit of God. If we don't believe that God is faithful, then God's faithfulness has no traction in our life. Let me put it another way. It takes two to tango. Covenant is a two-way relationship. It reminds me of Rob Bell's video that we watched week before last, the video Rhythm, where Rob said that God is like a song, and God invites us to play with his song. But when we are out of tune, or we refuse to play because we either think the song is stupid or we don't believe God knows how to direct the orchestra, when we do that, it causes dissonant chords. It's disruptive. And that's when chaos enters into the world. And that's what brings us to our third dimension of covenant. What happens when we step out of tune with God's song? Snakes happen. We can join my good friend Indiana Jones and say, "Why does it have to be snakes? I hate snakes." That brings us to our text in Numbers 21, which Pastor Mark read. It's really just a mini version of the same story that's been going on all along in this wilderness. The people become impatient with God. They don't believe God's going to deliver. And so God sends poisonous snakes into the camp, and people die. This is one of those parts of the story that we don't like to admit is in the Bible. I mean, snakes, really? How can a loving God send poisonous snakes into the camp of his people? Doesn't this just reinforce that whole image of God being a vindictive God who likes to send punishment that we are trying so hard to overcome? I don't think it does. when my dad was driving that car and he made the choice to not take us through the drive-thru, was he being vindictive? Was he taking joy in punishing me? No, absolutely not. He was being a father. He was faced with a choice. Let the brat get his way, or allow some pain and suffering to enter into our family to shape us and mold us into what we should become. You see, God is not just a loving God. God is a living God. God invites us into a way of life in His kingdom. He invites us to play the song. But when we are unfaithful, when we do not believe in the goodness of God, we move into a way that is against the ways of God. We move into fear and anger. And those things always bring violence. I think sometimes as Christians we're tempted to fall into this pattern of thinking. Sometimes we get this idea that, you know what? I can live any way I want to live because I know that God will forgive me. God has forgiven me and He will forgive me, so woo, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Well, that's true. God does forgive us. He will forgive us every time. But that doesn't change the fact that in our unfaithfulness, we are out of tune and creating chaos in the world. You see, God has a vision for your life. God has a vision for what you can be. He wants you to be faithful. But as a loving Father, He will allow pain into our lives to shape us into that. Now, I need to stop and be crystal clear about one thing. I am not saying that there is always a direct correlation between our sin and our suffering. Because the truth is that bad things happen to good people all the time. Because we live in a world that suffers from generations and generations of people living out of harmony with God's song. And so many of us are just caught as collateral damage. Bad things happen all the time. But I think we can all agree about this. There are snakes everywhere. That brings us to the fourth dimension of God's covenant. God enters our suffering and redeems it. Look now in Numbers 21 in verse 9. I want you to read this one out loud with me. We've already heard it. But here we go, Numbers 21, verse 9. It's on page 139. We'll read out loud. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Isn't that interesting? God took the very thing that was killing them and made it the thing that would save them. Now let's fast forward the videotape 1,400 years to eavesdrop on a conversation between this Jewish teacher named Nicodemus and a teacher named Jesus. It's in John 3. It's on page 968. Let's read these words of Jesus out loud together. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. That Son of Man, that's Jesus. Do you see what's going on here? Jesus says, I am going to become that snake. Think about that for a second. Back then in the camp in Numbers, the snake was killing the people. and the snake became what saved them. Jesus is now saying, I will become the snake that is killing you. What's happening here? There's one more place I want you to turn. I invite you all to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It is on page 1054. And I want us to read this out loud one time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Here we go. This is the Apostle Paul, by the way. He says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus entered into our snake pit, and he took on the pain of that poison. He took it on with us, and he took it on for us. Now think back to my family driving in that car. Who suffered that day? Well, of course I did. I suffered on multiple levels. I suffered the wrath of my brother. Boom! I suffered the pain of seeing the disappointment in my father. I also suffered because I missed out on the blessing of the communal beverage. But who else suffered? My dad suffered. He missed out on the blessing of sharing with that communal beverage. And he suffered to see his child being a brat. But he was willing to enter into that suffering with us so that it would shape us and form us into the vision of what he wanted his family to become. See, as we go through this journey of Lent, and as we're looking at covenant, the pursuit of God, let's remember these things. Let's remember that God is faithful, and we never have to doubt the faithfulness of God. But let's also remember that we can be unfaithful, and our unfaithfulness causes havoc and chaos and suffering in the world. But then the hope is that God will enter into our suffering and redeem it always. That Jesus was willing to be lifted up on the cross so that when we look at him, we will be saved. We will learn to play the song. So as we go through these next couple weeks, as we look at the new covenant next week, and as we climax with Easter, we look forward to the day when we get to go through the drive-through. We look forward to the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and God finally brings the vision of his people to fruition in his kingdom. But until that day, we can rest assured that God enters into our suffering and he helps us work through it. Would you stand and pray with me right now? Father, we are so thankful that you are faithful to us even when we are brats. That you would enter into this chaotic world and redeem it. Help us to be faithful to you, to respond to that love with faithfulness. Help us to bring that kingdom to reality. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.